Blog Talk Radio.
Talented, as you see, not only artist and graphic designer, but an awesome writer, producer, rap artist, singer, and who know what else. So shout out to him also. If you guys missed the two times that he's appeared on the show, you missed something. But he will return soon. But you can also network with him at Facebook. Just friend him at Jay Williams. And also check out more of his music at SoundCloud.com, Ill I Am, okay? That's Ill-I-Am, okay? So thank you so much. I see a little neighbor walking up the street, down the street. Thank you to my neighbors in the community, in the neighborhood that tune into the show. I don't know if she tunes in or not, but she's walking. It's been raining literally 8 days straight here in Jacktown, in Jackson, Mississippi, literally. And the forecast, the prediction is 8 more days, honestly, because looking at the forecast and listening to the meteorologist locally, especially Ethan of 16, reports are that it will be raining another week also. But thank God we are not experiencing bad weather. So this is much-needed rain that we've been getting. We're not experiencing, like, bad, horrific weather, tornado warnings and so on. Like, this morning we had a nice 71 degrees. But second day, broadcasting for an hour. And if needed, because looking at the news stories that we need to talk about, we will exceed an hour if we must. And feel free to call in also at 714-409-0614. I'm not looking at the switchboard right now. Rich Rubnick, I'm prepared to hold solo, but Rich Rubnick said that he always looking forward to coming on today. And I don't know, my cousin Linda might call in. She has shared numerous emails with me this morning that I just looked at right before showtime, because I've been working on, you know, improving and developing the delivery of the show, and especially since it's been upgraded to air up to 2 hours, and also with able to play more audio and so on. So please send your music in and send your PSAs in and let me know. I invite people on the show, but also if you're interested in being a guest or a guest co-host, let me know. You know, shoot me an email or call me and leave a message so I can return the message. You can call me on one of my cell phones is acting kind of crazy, so you can call me at 769-216-6883, but be sure to leave a message. And I'll call you back and let me know that you are interested in being a guest or a guest co-host. No pranksters, please. But this is an amazing day. We have a lot to talk about. We have the Summer Olympics that's coming up. Blake Griffin, I'm sure you all heard, won't be able to participate because he has injured his knee. So shout out to Blake. Blake is an awesome Alliance friend of mine. I remember when I received a friend request from him on MySpace. And I was like, wow, Blake Griffin, yay! So, you know, shout out to Blake Griffin and praying for you to recover quickly also regarding your injured knee. But still blessings to the team also and all the Olympians that are performing. You know, it's been a lot of controversy regarding the suits that the Olympians will be wearing because a lot of people feel that the suits should have been made, the berets and the suits and skirts and jackets should have been produced in the USA. And I am definitely a proponent of American-made products. And I'm in the state of Mississippi, and Mississippi and deep south are made products. And just American-made products wherever, you know, all across the country, because I'm in support of other states, most definitely. But a lot of people, it's been in the media a lot, and I know a lot of you have been talking about it also regarding the production of the suits and berets and uniforms being produced in China. So we can talk about any and everything. There's stuff going on regarding Junior Senov. His family donated portions of his brain tissue to be studied, and what are your feelings regarding that? And the Sandusky story, that is just amazing to me, what's been going on with that. You know, wow. And I did not notice about my friend, because I've been so focused on what's going on with Drew Brees and a lot of other dealings with the Saints, but Cousin Linda sent me an email from the local paper here, Clarence Ledger newspaper, that my favorite coach, my friend Coach Sean, and his wife Beth, same name as I, are divorcing. And so I'll be reading that article, but many of you already know this too. But just like me, I know we are always covered in so much news. And there's Peyton Manning, he has his new crib in Denver. And if you have not seen that crib, you all need to visit NFL.com or Google it, Peyton Manning's new house in Denver, because that house, that mansion is amazing. But looking at the email that I received, I want to shout out. Yesterday I ended the show wishing Jesse Jackson Jr. a quick recovery and a get well soon. And I had seen his dad talk to media regarding his son's health on World News Now earlier this morning. But yesterday also was the first day of the Rainbow Push Conference 2012. It began with a dynamic force that I'm reading the email. With a dynamic force that only Chicago could offer, Governor Pat Quinn, Mayor Emanuel, and Chicago native Governor Deval Patrick of Massachusetts all joined Jesse Jackson and Rainbow Push in a remarkable lunch. During lunch, they pledged to open up opportunities for minorities. This international and business day was filled with education and participation. The day concluded with a Black and Brown Caucus, where the two communities vowed to work together to fight for the rights of their communities. And they said that they also hope that you join for the rest of the Time Change and Conference in Chicago, if you're in Chicago. This is the 41st annual conference, and it is at the Chicago Hilton and Towers from July the 11th to the 14th. And today is the 13th, so tomorrow is the last day of the conference. And I attended one of those conferences. It was in September, back in the early 90s. My friend, my mentor, my boyfriend at the time, the late Reverend Charles Williams, former president of the Indiana Black Expo, and had, you know, he was a friend, mentor, significant other, so he felt that it was really important for me to attend that conference, and I had a blast, and almost 20 years later, I feel that I need to attend another one of those conferences. Also, I love watching the broadcast on Saturday mornings also. So shout out to everyone there, and again, get well soon, Jesse Jackson Jr., and shout out to Moses Brewer, of course, and he and his wife also. But I'm going to check out a couple more emails, and then I'm going to zoom on to the switchboard, because I don't like to have people waiting to speak. And if today is your birthday, happy birthday to you. I know today is Patrick Stewart's birthday, and I don't have it in my memory, so I'm getting ready to pull it up. And I didn't jot the notes down. Okay, here it is. I know many of my Facebook friends' birthday is today, so happy birthday. I believe today is my brother-in-law's birthday also, Wayne Gregory in High Point, North Carolina. I believe today is his birthday, July 13th. Yep, and it's Friday the 13th. Happy Friday 13th. Speaking of Jay Williams, he had just mentioned on Facebook about how he doesn't believe in bad luck. And to be honest, Friday 13th, in some kind of way I have a fascination with the number 13. And but for some reason it always appears in my life. It doesn't always be bad. It never is a bad thing. And usually on Friday the 13th, I experienced something like different in a good way on Friday the 13th. Now, you know, I'm not completely superstitious. You know, some things I might be superstitious about, but, you know, happy Friday the 13th. And those of you that are being careful and staying put, a shout out to you. today is also Harrison Ford's birthday. He's 70. Roger McGuinn. The Birds is 70. Dee Dee Khan, 61. Actress is 61. Luis Mandrell is 58. Cameron Crowe is 55. Didn't Cameron Crowe, didn't he pass away? I guess he's still alive. Tom Cannon, comedian, voice actor, SpongeBob is 50. Actor, comedian, Cheese Marin is 66. So those are the birthdays. And in 1985, if you were alive and loved music, even if you were a toddler, 1985, Live Aid, a concert to raise money for Africa's starving people, was held in London, Philadelphia, Moscow, and Sydney, Australia. I remember that Prince did not perform at the concerts, but remember the song that he contributed to the effort, Tears in My Eyes? I love that song, one of my favorite songs. I love that song, it's so beautiful. On July 13, 1967, race-related rioting broke out in Newark, New Jersey. 27 people died in 4 days of violence. And in 1863, rioting against the Civil War military draft erupted in New York City. About 1,000 people died over 3 days. And in 1923, a flag consisting of 50-foot-tall letters spelling out Hollywood Land was dedicated in the Hollywood Hills to promote a subdivision. The last four letters were removed in 1949 to just say Hollywood. And in 1939, Frank Sinatra made his first commercial recording, From the Bottom of My Heart and Melancholy Mood, with Harry James and his orchestra for the Brunswick label. And in 1977, I was a little girl and I remember this. A 25-hour blackout hit the New York City area after lightning struck upstate power lines. I remember that when I was a little girl. I was just a news buff at tech when I was like seven, eight years old. So I remember that. There was a talk everywhere. In 1960, John F. Kennedy won the Democratic presidential nomination at the party's convention in Los Angeles. And you all know that the rumor is brewing around. I don't know if it's a rumor. I don't think it's a rumor that Condoleezza Rice is now on the list of potential choices for Mitt Romney of choosing being his VP choice. I know you. I just wanted to mention. Some people might say, "Well, she hadn't mentioned that yet," but I mentioned it because I know people want to hear me mention that. You know. And I don't have an opinion, you know. That's a good choice also, really. But, you know, so many people say, and I always hear her say that she's not interested. But, you know, people do change their minds. So it remains to be seen. But no, as of record, the only person that he has said that he is considering is Marco Rubio. And Paul Ryan, you know, he prepared his papers a few weeks ago. So, you know, but today's not the day to talk about politics, but I just want to mention that. And I hear a lot of people saying, well, you know, she loves sports too, said that she would be a good NFL commissioner. I've heard a lot of people say that. I've always heard people say that about Condoleezza Rice. So I'm just checking some more emails. I've seen some TO news. About he might potentially go to jail. The Drew Brees and Saints. That's what I was thinking about. Drew Brees and Saints should be making an. They should have everything solidified before the beginning of the week. They might have it solidified. I need to check it out right now while on air, and then I will. Go ahead and check out the switchboard in the chat room and call in. We have a lot to talk about. I don't mind talking and gabbing because we have more than enough sports stories to talk about and entertainment and lifestyle stories to talk about. I'm sure all of you have heard that Steven Tyler is leaving American Idol because his band is dropping their new album in November, and you know, of course, they have to go on tour to support their album. And also there has been talk also that Jennifer Lopez might be interested also. And I would probably for the same reason. She's probably working on a new project or something of that sort. So I'm looking at the Saints info. Oh, okay. You all remember that the Pro Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame game will be on Sunday, August the 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you know that will be against the Arizona Cardinals in Canton, Ohio. So I'm looking at StubHub right now, and they're saying that the tickets are priced at $65, and 199 tickets are available. And the preseason ticket for the Saints, Jacksonville Jaguars at the New Orleans Saints, at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, are also available. Many tickets are available for that. That game is on the August 17th. So I just wanted to share that with you right quick. I'm going to like it right quick. So it's on my Facebook page. And this right here is about Saints, New Orleans Saints tickets. So I have Dallas news stories also posted and tweeted, I know posted out on Facebook regarding the Cowboys, regarding the Rangers also. And also there have been a lot of, on NBA.com, I received this email right before coming on air, check out the Summer D-League also at NBA.com today. So check that out. I'm Googling out the New Orleans Saints info. And shout out to my friends in Memphis and my friends that are traveling to Memphis I thought I would travel to Memphis for the First Lady play and meet my virtual trainer and someone who I've admired for so many years. But I look forward to meeting he and his friend, Brenda Torres, in the very near future. And I'm talking about Time Out. Be sure to visit Time Out's new blog site. I am Time Out, IAMTAIMAK. So shout out to he and the cast and the crew and everyone involved in the production, the writers and directors of the play. Check out his blog site, and you'll be able to get all the information regarding the play. It's getting so many good reviews. I hope new dates are added to the tour. Because they only went to places like New York and North Carolina, and then they're doing this stuff in Memphis. And so, you know, it would be good if they would come to Jackson and other cities, New Orleans, Dallas, Atlanta. Be good if they would add some other dates. So they probably will. I guess they just want to do those first dates, this first tour, and then they probably will add dates or either schedule another tour. This is me talking. You know, it's not anything I heard. I'm just saying, because more people would like to see the play. And I've seen interviews of Time Out and the writers and the directors and other actors and actresses in the play, and it just seems like it's a fantastic play, The First Lady. Awesome. So I just wanted to provide you with that info right there. So I'm trying to get you some more info regarding what's going on with True Breeze. You know, you can tweet the Saints also at official_Saints. Shout out to Doug Miller and Greg Benzel, General Manager Mickey Loomis, and the owners, of course. And now the Houdat Nation has expanded to the Hornet Nation. This is amazing. So the summer camps are starting, and that was something that I hope we can talk about, the scheduling of the summer camps, while I'm jumping the gun and talking about preseason schedules. I don't like to have space, so I like to have my notes and everything, but when you're in real time, it's important to check these emails and check what's happening right now. I have to break that news. Okay, I'm reading some news from they say Tim Tebow and Drew Brees shine at the ESPY Awards. Drew Brees is very confident Saints deal gets done despite Monday's deadline. And this is from CB Nation, SBNation.com. So I'm going to read this extensively. And after reading the Drew Brees story, we're going to go ahead to the switchboard in the chat room to see if any of you are ready to share your perspective and share some stories that you've heard or share your thoughts regarding the Sandusky trial, regarding the Olympian uniforms, regarding any and everything, new news, golf, boxing, martial arts. Drew Brees, very confident Saints deal gets done despite Monday's deadline. This is by Joel Thorman, and he states that for some reason Drew Brees is still confident about getting a long-term deal done with the New Orleans Saints, even though the two parties are still reportedly more than $10 million apart in guaranteed money with the deadline to secure a new contract coming on Monday. Brees, speaking from the Expo Awards this week, insisted he is confident a deal gets done. I'm an eternal optimist, so I am still very confident a deal will get done by Monday, Brees said. I think I've been around this league long enough to understand how this works at times. In a lot of cases, it goes down to the wire, and you need a stopping point in order to bring everyone together and make sure it can get done. That stopping point is Monday, so let's hope we get something done by then. The Associated Press reported the deal would be in the neighborhood of $100 million over 5 years. That's what I heard earlier this week. The sticking point is the amount of guaranteed money. Freeze will make more than $16 million in 2012 under the franchise tag and over $23 million in 2013 if he's tagged again. That puts his potential two-year earnings with the franchise tag at just under $40 million, which is probably where the guaranteed money conversation is. So that is where they are at. This right here was posted only 2 hours ago, but things can change very quickly. And, you know, wouldn't it be good if Brett Favre came out of retirement and played for the Saints like one more time? I mean, you know, he's a resident of Mississippi. He grew up on the coast right there in New Orleans backyard, rooting for the Saints. So wouldn't it be awesome if he, like, came out of retirement and was, like, one of the backup quarterbacks, you know? That would be so awesome. And then the Saints win another Super Bowl. Oh, my God. This is me talking. I'm just telling y'all. Oh, my God, that would be so awesome, you know? But, NFL got it going on. It's gonna be a good year, good year. So I'm posting this and tweeting this article so you can read it for yourself. Awesome. Congratulations to all the HB winners. Awesome. Okay. I'm just reading some of his history, but I won't go into that. You all know how I love to share and talk about people's history, but you all can easily tweet Drew at Drew Brees, and also you can like his page at Drew Brees, and also visit his website at drewbrees.com, and also support his Brees Dream Foundation. And, you know, yesterday I elaborated on he and his wife are launching a clothing line in the fall, and Michael Vick is launching a clothing line also in the fall by the name of V7, which will be sold at Model Athletics stores. And this is from New York Daily News. Eagle Michael Vick launches his new athletic wear line, V7, duds for kids, adults, to be sold at Model's. At Model's. You all can like his Facebook page also. This article is by Brian Nemeth of the New York Daily News. And they're showing a picture of Michael Vick with a bunch of kids and having an awesome good time with members of the Boys and Girls Club in Philadelphia and talking about his new V7 apparel line, which was at a Model Sporting Goods store on Wednesday in Philadelphia, and it's going to be sold exclusively at East Coast Sporting Goods Shop, Model. So East Coast, what's wrong with all across the world? I guess they just want to test the market first. No doubt Michael Vick knows his way around a lot. The Pro Bowl quarterback will bring his game to the fitting room as well. Live streaming will stop in less than 90 seconds. But the show will continue on. We can air up to another hour. In a deal with the sporting goods chain Model's, Vick has put his name on a line of athletic wear with kids, shorts and tees, selling for $12.99 and adult wear fetching at $19.99. It's called V7, a reference to his uniform number. Vick was one of football's most popular players when he entered the league in 2001. But his public image was sacked in 2007 after he was collared for his part in a dog fighting ring. After serving 18 months in prison, more than a decade in dog years, Vick returned to the NFL where he became the league's comeback player of the year in 2010. His relentless campaign to restore his good name now includes contributing some proceeds from V7 to the Boys and Girls Club of Philadelphia. On Wednesday, Vick acknowledged to a gathering at a Model in Philadelphia that he's still working to set things straight. The goal is always to try to get yourself in the good graces when you have a downfall. It's still not over. And that's good for all of us and for everybody that experience highs and lows. I still have each and every day. For his part, Modell CEO Mitch Modell defends his company's decision to work with Vic. Tell the news, we felt it was the right thing to do. Everybody deserves a second chance. While 30 Modell stores now carry V7 shorts and apparel, only 6 in New York, 5 been in Brooklyn, and 1 on 42nd Street in Times Square. By the time the football season starts in September, 25 New York City Modells will carry Vic's line. The Eagles quarterback understands that winning the hearts of the New Yorkers will be difficult, regardless of his history, but it seems up for the challenge. But he seems up for the challenge. You know, I get a lot of people telling me every day they're New York Giants fans, but they're Michael Vick fans too. Vick told the news, I just hope when they're not rooting for the Giants, they're rooting for me. Vick's new team at V7 includes former ICM agent Brian Scheer and clothing industry veteran Ruby Azrak. And, you know, congrats. That seemed like that would be awesome. Now I'm headed to the switchboard. I am posting this on my Tumblr page because my Tumblr page, and you can follow me at Culture Shock Inc. That's KULTREFHOKENTBETH. I'm posting this on my Tumblr account because my Tumblr account is connected to like most of my social networking sites, if not all of them. And so it's just going to be like posted on all my sites, Facebook, LinkedIn, MySpace, et cetera, by posting it on Tumblr first. And also, I hate the redundancy sometimes when there's multiple postings. And because if I post on Tumblr, it's posted everywhere. But then if I individually post something, and it's like multiple postings. And that irks me, and I know it irks some of you also, because a couple of my Facebook friends said they don't like that multiple posting. And I was like, I feel you, because that's a pet peeve of mine too. So you probably have noticed a reduction of the multiple postings. So I'm headed to the switchboard. Wow, time flies. Because we still hadn't talked about, hopefully some of you will call in and talk about your favorite teams. I love the NFL period, the NBA sports period. You can call in and talk about and share the news from your other, from your favorite teams. They don't, I talk about the Saints and Dallas and Florida sports because I'm in that region and those are teams that I like. And I like the New York Jets and New York Giants and the Vikings and San Francisco 49ers. I like sports period. So I'm not one of those hosts that, I can't call her because she's always talking about so and so on. I have favorite players and favorite people on all teams. So, and tell me something that I don't know. And tell the listening audience something that they don't know. Thank you for your support also, because the views, not the profile, is now 68,239. So I thank you so much for your support. And now that we're able to broadcast more than 45 minutes, definitely working on the development of the show, and thank you so much, and the quality of the show. I want to keep you happy. It's the give and take thing, and it's just been awesome. And thank you for your inspiration, and thank you for sharing ideas and networking with me and tuning into the show. Trying to pull the screen up, the switchboard up. I'm on the page, but it needs to come up completely so I can see who's in the switchboard and also who's in the chat room. And it's going to resume back to doing the morning shows. But since I have a flexible schedule right now, and since we've upgraded and we can now air in time slots that we weren't able to air in, especially the prime time times, trying out different times and different time slots. Remember, True God will be the guest on tomorrow night, unless he's spending time with his queen and his new baby girl. And you can get DOA right now at Amazon and at iTunes also. And, of course, I will be playing more of his music also today. So Ridge Roughneck is on the line, and we do have another caller also. So let's see what's up with Ridge Roughneck. I'm going in the chat room. I'm going to tweet out to more listeners. Some people might not know we're on air. So I'm going to tweet out right quick that we are broadcasting. Come in the chat room. I'm going to the chat room. And now, first I'm going to check out this caller. I'm going to keep you holding. Hello, how are you? Do I have to make a comment, or are you just listening? Press 1 if you would like to speak. They want to put you on air if you don't want to talk. What's up, Reg Roughneck?
What up, babe?
How are you doing?
Oh, amazing what some sleep can do to a person's body.
I can rest you up, huh? You can feel good and rested.
Yeah, rested and ready to take on the rest of the day and all it brings, but it's already shaping up to be a long day.
So you had your beauty rest.
Yeah, it's still working, but you know how that goes.
Exactly. Oh, and I've been on the air for almost an hour, and need to shout out Venice Williams, your girl Venice. Serena, for winning the Wimbledon this past weekend. You did get your picture, right?
I got that picture. I mean, she's supposed to be calling me, and we're supposed to be going out celebrating. I haven't heard back from her yet, so.
I wish you would call the show. Serena, a friend of Serena, tell her to call Ranger up next. 714-409-0614. She's supposed to be calling you.
yeah, that's what she said. You know, so I'm still waiting.
I wish she would call. I'm going to do my best.
No, you don't want to hear me screaming like a woman on the radio.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, you know, like you seen that Justin Bieber commercial where everybody sees him and they just start screaming, and including this old bald white guy, he starts screaming like a lovesick fan or something. it was hysterical. I died laughing on that.
Oh yeah, my. Where are you starting? What's on your mind? Your Sandusky case, ongoing drama. It's been shocking me.
I mean, I don't know why anybody is so shocked about how the whole situation went down. I mean, it's obvious.
What is surprising me now is that they're putting the blame on the late Paterno.
Well, I mean, he showed us a lot of the blame because he called himself. He played God about the situation. He called himself trying to be protecting the image of the university, and then trying to enable Sandusky indirectly, and Sandusky just took full advantage of it. I mean, the fact of the matter is, Jerry Sandusky was a very sick man, and I mean that literally. He's literally sick, and they just
Back in the 90s, you should have
been
seeking help, right?
Right. I mean, but I think what they did was that Sandusky might have threatened to go public about it, and then they just decided to cover it up by not only letting him resign, but then to give him a desk job and then have him fund that foundation that he was running, which all it wound up doing was help enable him to get the more children in. I mean, it's disturbing on so many levels, the way the cover-up continues. But Coach Paterno,
he continued molesting kids after getting caught in the shower. That's what's so sick.
Exactly.
It seems like then that's when he should have sought help. And, well, Paterno did turn him into the higher-ups. But then I heard, I know you know this case back and forth front, but I'm kind of shocked to hear that sometimes Paterno would ask, well, how's it going? It meant how his case and how his troubles were going, you know.
Right. But the thing is, Paterno was only interested in one thing and one thing only, and that was just keeping this from going public and covering the image of the university. Had he took the initiative and confronted the issue head on, got him fired, they would have saved a whole lot of face and a whole lot of embarrassment had they dealt with it directly instead of basically being passe about it and then coddling the situation and letting it go on. It almost makes them look like accessories after the fact for the simple thing, almost as if they were involved. And that's what a lot of people are starting to ask on every level. They're starting to ask, hey, what's in this discipline for to the rest of everybody?
Have you heard that before, or that's just you, common sense, putting two and two together?
That's right. I mean, that's what a lot of people are starting to assume. A lot of people are assuming that now. They're assuming that maybe St. Dix was pimping these old children out to some of the other people up there. I mean, they're not calling out Coach Paterno directly on that level, but the way the whole thing went down, I mean,
I thought you was trying to say that maybe they had something going on.
But a lot of people are speculating and assuming that because they're feeling like, okay, if you didn't want to have nothing to do with it and wasn't nothing going on, then why did you just turn a blind eye so harshly? And I mean, that's really what a lot of this investigation focused on. And I feel that Sandusky's just the fall guy that's just going to take the hit for everything. I mean, it's just a sorted mess.
Okay, I'm understanding better why he's getting the blame. Okay. Because I'm like, well, he did report it to the higher ups when it first occurred. But my thing is, why didn't Sandusky and the school and his loved ones, like his wife, get him help? Or why didn't he choose to say, yeah, this is sick right here. I shouldn't be fooling around with these kids. I need help. You know, he should have been getting counseling or something.
Right. That would have been the right way to handle it. But the point of the matter is the only thing they were concerned about was losing scholarships. They was concerned about their pristine image and – it's just like a relative covering up for another relative's shortcomings. You know, like I'm sure everybody has a sick uncle or something in the family that they're trying to keep his secrets out of the light so that the rest of the family won't look bad. And Jerry Sandusky was that sick uncle, and they covered it up, but they should have known. Well, you know, hindsight is what it is, but had they known what they were going to face, yeah, I'm sure they would have done the right thing, but it's too late now.
And if they knew how many kids he were molesting and then actually taking the kids in the house with your wife, Lord have mercy. That's sad if you take another woman, a mistress, in your house, but then you're taking kids in your house and molesting them. Oh, my God.
It's sickeningly amazing what some people would actually look past just because of the comfort of the security that they're getting. I mean, Dottie Sandusky was just a sick, silent partner. I refuse to believe that she didn't know, but just like I refuse to believe that Coach Paterno knew. They all knew. They knew, but they was trying to protect their image. And now look at what it is now. But, I mean, Coach Paterno he got off extremely easy compared to what everybody else got to face because, you know, he's gone. You can't prosecute him. Can't subpoena him, can't ask him nothing.
When he originally called him in the shower, he did follow protocol and told the higher ups.
That was just a cover his tracks.
A lot of people say he should have called the law enforcement first, but he was following protocol. But then I'm going to say what y'all saying now. He might have told protocol and at the same time was trying to cover it up.
Precisely. He was playing both ends to the middle. He was hedging his bets. Joe Paterno could have called. He could have went over all people's heads and could have done that. What were they gonna do? Fire him? I doubt it. I mean, that would be like Bear Bryant. That would be like Bear Bryant calling the governor. I mean, you know, Bear Bryant got that much pull. He could walk into the governor's office without an appointment and get whatever he needs done. So, Coach Paterno could have he could have drove to Harrisburg and got that thing taken care of. They would have listened. What were you going to do, fire him and turn him into a hero? I mean, he would have looked a lot bigger now than he does today.
Wow, this is a deep subject.
Very deep. I mean, it's just like, you know, how far does it go? I mean, look at Syracuse. When they finally found out about Coach Fine, what did he do? They fired him. You ain't hearing nothing about Syracuse. You know,
Nip that in the bud.
Right. That's all they had to do. I mean, Boeheim defended his coach, and he said as long as there's nothing to make him think otherwise, he stood by his coach and his friend. But then when he found out, when they had that on tape that the wife knew about it and was talking about it, he immediately took him to the office and cut him. That's what you're supposed to do. We have an obligation to our friends and everything to stick up for them. But when they're wrong, they're wrong. And then you have to put them on their own after that. Friends, family, whomever. Something that sick and that disgusting, yeah. You ride with it as long as possible. When it gets to the point of starting to mess the car up, you throw them out the car. But they didn't do that. And all of it was about money. The money that the institution was getting and everything. I mean, Penn State football program is a cash cow. I don't think we know anybody who's ever went to the NBA from Penn State. You don't hear about anybody from baseball that went to Penn State.
Wow.
All you ever hear is football. And that's what they get by. That's their lifeblood. So all they was doing was protecting their image. Because then they didn't want to be said, okay, if he's doing this to the kids, how many of the players was he doing it with? You know, it was a whole bunch of things they called themselves trying to cover. When they made the decision to stay quiet.
And I always hear them say that, the youth organization, which I hear have been transferred to Texas now. I guess you might know more about it now, but was the organization legitimate, or did he create it? Because I always hear reports saying that he created it so he could be close to kids.
It was a legitimate venture, and they called themselves using his name to kind of try to keep his reputation somewhat clean. You know, I'm talking about Sandusky.
Yeah.
But in the same sense, though, Sandusky, huh?
But at the same time, he was molesting kids that were participating, right?
Exactly. It was like a charitable organization for underprivileged children. And he was supposed to be, like, spearheading the campaign. And all he did was he used the campaign and everything, continue taking care of his, satisfying his urges and his needs. I mean, and the fact that the university paid for it and backed him up on it makes them a very serious accomplice to the crime.
It was well-funded. As hard as it is for youth advocates, advocacy organizations to get funding, his organization was well funded. It seemed like he really had some cool programs, but at the same time was molesting those kids. Man.
Exactly. I mean, that's like a I mean, that's like the wolf being in, having a nice little orphanage for the sheep. And the wolf just brings the sheep in.
I'm just laughing. Remember, Reg Roughneck is a comedian, so we're not laughing at the story.
Well, no, we're not laughing. But that's the word. That's the best metaphor you can put to it. That's the best metaphor you can put to it. That's like a wolf starting an orphanage or a program to help the troubled sheep, and all he's doing is just bringing the sheep in and getting his satisfaction off the sheep's expense. You know, would you trust a dog to run an animal hospital for cats? I don't think so. I mean, you see what happened when you make an oil man president. You know, it's the same thing, you know. So, I mean, would you make a pimp be in charge of the nuns? You know, so that's what Penn State did by making Sandusky in charge of a children's program. I mean, the thing is, you know, it just sat on all levels, and the fact that they actually even did an investigation to draw the conclusion that they never had a meeting to discuss how they was going to handle it. They had it back in '98 when he resigned. So yes, they talked about it. They sat down, and Coach Fraterno, I'm sure, made his case. Yeah, I don't think he made his case so much to defend what Sandusky was doing. I just think he made his case as to how to best protect the reputation of the school, because that's the only reason why I feel that they all covered it up. They was more concerned about their
image. They didn't want enrollment being affected. They didn't want the football program being affected. They didn't want alumni getting troubled. So the list went on for probably the reasons.
But those were the reasons. I don't think that they were protecting Sandusky as far as that they cared about him to that degree. They just hate the fact that he was just so entrenched into the program that they were looking at how they was going to look.
And to me, he could have got help. You know, he should have got help.
Exactly.
And then what about the kid back then? Did the kid get counseling back then? No.
I doubt it. I'm sure you're right. I'm sure, because why? They was keeping this. They was trying to keep a lid on it. Of course, they didn't try to help those children. That's the sad part about it.
That's why it's so unbelievable to me, because Paterno was looked at not only as a coach but a father figure, and not just to the football team, but just to the students, period. Look at how the students wrapped around him right before that last game that they wouldn't let him coach. I mean, those kids from then and now, from 50 years ago to now, were just in awe of that man. And so that's why it's kind of unbelievable to me, like, aren't you putting the interest of the kids and the student, the athlete players' interest first? But I know what you're saying. In the real world, it's about the dollar and the image.
That's all it was about. And I mean, let's go one better than this. How do you think this whole situation would have played out if there had been Eddie Robinson down there at Grambling? It'd be a mushroom cloud up there over Louisiana.
That is a good point. And I can't even think. I don't even want to mention that Coach Gordon, my friend, and I know he's your friend too. But yeah,
right.
Eddie Robinson, Coach Gordon. What was the coach that used to coach the Arkansas team? You know me. Remember the one?
Lou Holtz. What if that happened to Bear Bryant at Alabama? That's the biggest. I think that's probably the biggest comparison you can make. I mean, I can see Bear Bryant taking one of his coaches for a ride somewhere and leaving them in the field dead if that happened to Alabama.
I
happened to the University of Alabama. Somebody could have wound up dead behind that.
Oh, I believe Coach Gordon would have called law enforcement, like ASAP. Coach Gordon ain't no.
As soon as he hit his desk.
Law enforcement having a press conference.
Man, they'd have been pulling Coach Gordon off that coach.
We're talking about former, some of you that aren't familiar with, especially Southern teams.
Pull Coach Gordon off of that coach if that had happened at Jackson State. I promise you that.
He probably would have done what you said you would have done.
Exactly. They had Coach Gordon with blood all on his clothes with the handcuffs on him trying to take him to the police station. So they'd be like,
breaking news. Breaking news. Jackson State University head coach has bludgeoned one of the good guys. Oh, man.
Coach Gordon would have took a football helmet in there and just bashed his skull in. You know, it would not have been nice. I can just see how that speech would have went. You know.
Man.
That would not have been nice. And then as far as that coach, he'd had a mob facing him standing outside the office that he'd had trying to get to his car. He'd have got tore up then. The worst thing you could probably imagine happening at Jackson State would be somebody gang raping a co-ed would probably be the worst thing that could probably happen. But, you know, but something like this, it'd have been dealt with immediately.
Yeah, and people that say, well, black people don't do that, we see it every day, too. So that's why we're saying if hypothetically something like that happened. You know, that's nothing
funny. It's not a race issue.
This is not a race issue. This is a sick issue.
Precisely. It's just how it would have happened if it had happened somewhere else. How it would have been dealt with is what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
Because if that had been Eddie Robinson, I mean, like I said, God help that coach. He would not have wasted no time on that.
Oh, man, you are making a point. Back to your first point, that is a good point.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's where I hold Coach Paterno in contempt, is the fact that you don't protect the image of your family or your school by just trying to go along with something and turning a blind eye and just hope that it fades away. You know,
okay, I'm getting a better understanding because I've been keeping up with the story, but I'm thinking, well, he followed protocol and told the athletic department heads, and, you know, because some people said we should have called the police first. I'm like, well, he might would have been in trouble if he had called the police first, but that was a crime that he witnessed, you know, but
right.
He might would have been fired and we not known why. If
he had done the right thing, what would have happened? Yeah, it might have been a little backlash, but the backlash would have been a lot more minor than it is now. It's like cancer. If you take the cancer out now, before it really starts getting into other parts of the body and spreading and wind up killing the whole entire body. If you'd have just took that, if you took it out when it was just a lump, you would have been good. But when you ignore it, and then by the time you really look into it, try to take care of it, it's all over the rest of the body, and there's nothing else left to do at that point. And that's basically one of the best analogies I can use as to how Penn State allowed this cancer to spread.
Well, now his family, his widow, his sons, family members, loved ones, now all of them are left having to speak to the public and to the media regarding this. So what's your opinion about the predicament that they're in now?
Well, it's just a case of this is what happens when you this is what they get for not dealing with the problem immediately. Now this backlash may affect them for the next 10 years.
Because now his kids are his first people and his loved ones, and now they have to always elaborate and explain, well, this.
Right. Instead of being on the tail end of how this would have transpired, now they're going through the worst of it. I doubt that if Coach Paterno had did the right thing and turned them in, Coach Paterno would have been looking a lot better. He wouldn't have had to been forced to resign, much less get fired. A whole lot of things could have been solved had he done the right thing. But
wow,
he played God, and it backfired on him.
We must send our love and hugs and prayers to not only the Paterno family, Sandusky family need prayers too, but
yes,
to the victims, to all those young men. Not one young woman, right? I never heard a girl come up.
No. No, it wasn't. But
okay,
but
all the young men,
all those children, I think the school would have dealt with it a lot better, just because of the fact, you know, that it was children involved. I mean, because you know, just like Brian Cuban, he's a alumni of Penn State.
Exactly.
You know,
and Brian, shout out to Brian Cuban. Follow him on Twitter and like his Facebook pages. Also, Brian and Reg Rubnick have pretty much the same thoughts and opinions and perspectives regarding this case. Okay.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why we don't like each other that much.
Too much alike, huh?
Exactly.
And I love both of you. And what were you saying about you and Brian's thoughts regarding this?
No, like I said, me and Brian, we have that same thought process. So every now and then, we have to kind of catch ourselves when we're communicating with each other. Because he'll say something like, "Why do you have to be that way?" I'm like, "Brian, I really wasn't being that way. I was just handling it like this." And he's like, "Oh, okay." But you know, but other than that, we usually settle and cool off. But that's just kind of how we get along. That's how we kind of get down. It would probably be a lot nicer once we finally meet each other face to face. So yeah, I do a lot of blogging with Brian.
Oh yeah, I love Brian. He's just inspirational. Well, you know, I love those Cuban brothers, Mark, Jeff, Brian. Just awesome. They can do no wrong in my eyes.
Yeah. Who would have thought that?
Hey, hire me, Mark. I guess Mark's saying you. Well, you still gotta grow up. I'm going on 44. I know when I was 42, I told Mark, I said, when I grow up, I want to be like you. So I guess Mark is saying, well, you still gotta grow up.
You got a lot more to grow. You ain't ready yet. but I guess we could go ahead and segue into that subject because. Our Mavericks is looking really bad right now, and
my God,
we lost a whole gang. They was talking about that earlier today. I mean, Deshaun Stevenson, J.J. Barrett. We lost Tyson Chandler. We lost
now
Jason Kidd.
Now we lost
Jason Terry. We have done this restructuring since we won the title. And it's like, who's going to be left? You know, and I know that a lot of people are wondering what direction. I'm still holding out that all of this backpedaling we're doing has to have some type of accomplishment in the end. I mean, you notice that they're not talking too much about the Mavericks now as far as the Dwight Howard situation. But I cannot believe that the market's not still trying to make that one happen. There's got to be a reason for all these contracts. You're practically redoing the whole entire franchise just to try to land a couple of great cornerstone players that would help us get back to the top. But he is frankly, he's redone his whole entire personnel. And
yes.
I mean, but the thing about it is that the NBA has gotten very, very competitive now. Everybody's following what the Lakers tried to do 10 years ago when they had got Karl Malone in, they got Gary Payton in, and they was basically bringing everybody in when Shaq and Kobe were still there, and then all of a sudden Shaq was gone and everybody else left. And then the Celtics turned around and did the same thing, and it worked out for them. And now the Heat's doing it, so now everybody's trying to follow that same pattern. So, I mean, it's really making things very competitive, and I really like how it's going, but I'm still holding hope. Huh?
I'm holding hope, too. And I need to check on Dwight, because I guess he's rehabbing his back.
Yeah. He's just rehabbing his back, and he's just on the cell phone like, okay, yeah, all right, okay, all right. Well, just keep me posted. He's just calling his agent. That's all he did. He's calling his agent like, yeah, that'll work. But, I mean, to see all of these teams, I mean, he got like – I think they had the Cavaliers involved. They had the Nets involved. They had the Rockets involved. You know, I think it's got to be at least 7 or 8 teams involved in this Dwight Howard hunt.
Yeah.
But I'm just still holding out all hope and faith that the Mark is going to pull it off. I got all the faith that Mark is hanging in there trying to get this done. And the way things are looking, he better.
So, I mean, Dirk's still doing his thing, and it's still some other multi-talented and great players, and then we have the new rookies coming in.
Right. We've already drafted and signed all our picks.
So now it's all about landing those veterans. So,
exactly.
Wait a second. Okay, the 11 was the other day, right? So it's time now for them signing and re-signing, right?
You're right. The NBA has probably one of the shortest off seasons. From June to November does not take long.
NBA and
it
baseball,
really doesn't.
My God, they have no off
right.
time.
Right, they really don't, because baseball, I think, is even shorter than that, because from October to April, and I mean, then the camp starts in March. So,
wow.
It's spring training.
And if they let themselves go, I'm talking about out of shape and don't exercise and eat whatever they want, man, they have to work hard real quick.
Right, and people wonder why they was taking steroids or whatever, because it was helping them heal their bodies. The body takes a lot of pounding, and a lot of people don't realize that. And you have to do whatever you can to try to heal. Because, like, football players, just, you have to look at the fact that for 2, maybe 3 months out of the year, their bodies are in the best shape, has no pain, no injuries, no anything. Because the rest of the time, they're either hurting or recovering from an injury.
Wow.
I mean, guys talk about, I mean, I remember, you remember when Jerome Bettis talked about how the season could end in January, and it usually took him up until about maybe March or April to finally heal from all the pounding he took. Then you got all of April, May, and then maybe June. I mean, by June, you're really back doing some of the OTAs, and in July starts training camp.
Yeah.
And then that's when it all starts all over again. It's just a recycle of dealing with things. I know John Elway talked about normally after a football game, he's sore all day Monday, Tuesday, then maybe Wednesday, he's finally recovering from that beating. But then you got to go right back and do that beating all over again, going into the next game.
Not to mention having a mind right.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Definitely the mind. Trying to recover from a loss or something like that, or even getting over the thrill of a victory. And then you turn around and got to go through the whole thing again. But he said it got to the point with him, it could be Saturday and his body still hasn't healed from the beating that he took the week before. And you're just not getting ready after Saturday, then you got to turn back around to play again Sunday. That wears and tears on you.
Wow.
So.
And their dietary plans and their health and fitness plans. That is something I'm always curious about and like to know and inquire about. Their dietary plans and the things that the foods that they need to eat and what they eat to stay in that competitive shape.
Exactly. And they see things that they see things as this is the sacrifice they're making for their families.
Yeah.
And I can, like I said, I can relate to a lot of that, because look at Jim McMahon, all the beatings he done took from playing football, and now he's practically senile. And he's 51, 52 years old. He has to have a GPS.
Is he senile?
Just about. I mean,
that's why we don't see him often in commercials on talk shows.
Right. Jim's mental condition is to the point he has to be low-jacked because he could very easily drive somewhere and forget where he was going and be lost.
No, from all those concussions and everything.
Right.
Exactly. No,
all
I didn't
those
know that's serious. Yeah,
yes,
but because we should be seeing him on talk shows and making guest appearances, so I should have known
exactly.
It was something going
he's
on.
Not able to.
With his personality.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Right.
Wow.
That is the ugly side of the reality of what playing a game of football does to you. It can really weigh on you that way. I mean, a lot of these guys walk with these injuries that they've, gotten. And you got to look at the fact, a lot of these guys have been doing this ever since they were 6, 7 years old.
Exactly.
Pop Warner.
They have been appearing in the NFL. They've been doing this since they were little kids playing street ball and
exactly.
In the playground, in the backyard.
Go from the playground to junior high to varsity, varsity to high school to college. Then you make the pros, and if you happen to have a career, like look at Ray Lewis going into his 17th year in the NFL.
Shout out him on his long career. Yeah.
Exactly, and to have that same excitement, that same passion, desire is a testament.
I'm just amazed at his enthusiasm. His enthusiasm is equal to Drew Brees. He's been only in the league how long? Maybe.
It's going on his 12th year.
Yeah, believe it or not, he's very enthusiastic too to be doing 12 years. But Ray Lewis' enthusiasm is like that of a rookie, like someone in their third. Someone in their third or fourth year. You know,
exactly.
He just has this like hungry persona, like we can do it, and he just amazes me how he just leads his team in regards of enthusiasm and motivating.
I mean, he is just as jacked about the fact, he made a point that he only has one Super Bowl, and he was just talking about how he still wants more. He still feel like there's more for him to succeed on. Him and Ed Reed, they're still driven. that's the thing that you lose. Once you lose that, that's when your whole game suffers. But mm-hmm. the reason why these guys are so successful because they are just as driven now as they were then.
And he really can have an attitude like, I got mine.
Right.
He could have
some
that
people
attitude.
Get, right, some people do get complacent. I got mine, and then they start slacking off. But Ray, it's every minute, every moment, every time. He's always looking to do more, and you don't teach that. That's something you just have in you. And Ray personifies that more than anybody, and that's why I feel like, you know, well, to me, I love him that much because I love his passion, his enthusiasm. Because you just don't see that every day.
Wow.
Because one of the things you got to have on anything you try to do, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship with a friend or a woman or whatever it is that keeps you going, you have to have that passion, that motivation, and desire to always keep it better and that it never suffers. A lot of people had that type of enthusiasm. The divorce rate would be next to nothing now.
Good point. Divorce and break the rate.
Right. You can't never rest on your laurels and think, I've done enough. I don't have to do anymore. You
plus,
always
plus attracting more. Plus attracting love. Because some people, those that are looking, sometimes you're not getting it and not attracting because you don't have that enthusiasm. You know?
Well, I think me and you can both attest to the fact that some people can just be happy that they finally have you coming home every day, and then they just stop thinking about anything else to do to make the relationship better. Like, you coming home, ain't you? You're here, ain't you? And
but just like an athlete, another good metaphor, just like if you're solo, or if you're in a relationship or looking for love, it's important to be like an athlete, have that burning enthusiasm. I
always
can do
gotta it. Make it better.
Exactly.
Well, not so much that you can do it. It's like, what can I do to keep it? And that's what has to motivate you. I got it, but I want to keep it and make it better. I mean, if you finally ever get your own house, you're going to fight and do what you want to keep your house and make your house better.
But I'm just saying, even people generally that are solo, happy single, happy, just happy, keep that
right.
burning enthusiasm within you. Single, looking for love, got a new love, want to keep that love, I want to keep who you've been with, or married to.
Right.
You know, you have to keep that burning enthusiasm. If you want to attract somebody new,
right.
got to have
right.
that burning enthusiasm. And we're talking this from experience.
Exactly, you got that right. I mean, like I was talking about the other day that you know, I'm about to be 45 years old and I'm trying to get back, trying to work out and try to work my body because I don't want to get. I've gotten too complacent over the past few years. I'm a little puffy, a little winded, and out of shape. So
yeah.
I gotta get back, get my mind focused right on it, and I gotta work on my body. Got to work on my attitude. Got to work on maintaining my lifestyle. You know, it's a lot of things you have to do. You have to stay motivated. You have to be focused on keeping it. Because if you slip up and keep getting complacent, it can just fall by the wayside.
Exactly, and it's easy to get that what the F attitude or F it attitude. But it's important to just stay motivated. So you and I on the same page and. Self-motivating is good, motivation is good, but it's good, too, also, to have that support system.
Yeah, procrastination is a terrible thing.
Uh-huh. And naysayers, too.
Right, I mean, my father lives by that motto sometimes. I'll try to quit, I'm going to keep procrastinating tomorrow. you can't keep that mentality.
Wow. So we have another 40 minutes to broadcast, so I'm going to play some music for the listening audience. So if you need to take a quick break, water break or whatever break, we can do that right quick and then go on back on and talk about some more things. It's so much going on in the news. So what else do you want to talk about after this
Definitely wanted to talk about your boy down in New Orleans. Got to talk about Breezy.
Exactly. Exactly. So we got to talk about some Breeze.
I got to talk about Cool Breeze Breeze.
and Coach also, he and his wife, Beth, are the same name, splitting, right there in Fort Worth, Texas. Wow, but most definitely Drew Brees. Drew Brees might be $100 million man, maybe today.
Oh, yeah. Talk about laughing all the way to the bank.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That's a good friend I could use right now.
So let's take a music break, and then we still got 40 more minutes, you all. Thank you.
True. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk global economics, electronics, and chronic. Look beyond it, it's massive, the bomb sent to atomic. Riot gear, we lions here, roaring at demonic. Fear is for all the kids that's been hooked up on phonics. They say natural disasters, hot spin engineering. It's time to free your mind, your heart spinning. The fear it makes you wanna be optimistic and you being so fearless. Where everybody see it, it's so dark in appearance. And we stuck in three wars, 9/11, the demeanor. Iraq, Afghanistan, from Haiti to Katrina. Makes you wanna be dreamers, niggas looking at FEMA. See the president. It's evident, it's often a smoke screen to represent whatever you can see in the hope dreams and pipe dreams. The decadence that we see, it's all the torture and forces the rest of you be. And you've been trying to open up and you've been trying to get free. Yes. Of my environment, workers seeking retirement. No social security, open up the conspiracy. Hold up now, are you hearing me? Running from all the tyranny, lyrically moving waters. Just know the devil ain't scaring me. Fearing me don't exist. I clearly walk through the mist, endearing me with the gifts that was given. Punching my fist, the paternal orders and lists. If you started feeling the shift, the news concealing the shit. But I'm revealing the script. So pick a role at your funeral, pick a soul that seems beautiful. Change it and meme it, then align with the stars and the numerals. Who are you? Would you stand with refugees in Sudan or walk the streets of Japan with not? And pistols in hand, louder so I can see you. A million rebels are equal to one nation of God. The power is with the people. No politician's description. The truth is never mixed up. So if you're ready to rise, then put your fist up. Truth.
It was fed up with these games. All the talk of change.
Before better day, another way. Just
dreaming
for a better day, another way.
But free from Mother Nature's euphoria, raising sons and daughters both to be
warriors. You reside in my kingdom through your power and strength. Inside a land where men and women grow a power defense. I watch you in motion, divinity. I wanna keep you close to your emotional energy. You are one of a kind, baby. Something incredible. See your face every day, it's unforgettable. Kisses, lips, and everything is edible. The brown eyes now are just the gate to my soul. See, I'm usually in the driver, but you're taking control. It's cool. Hermes, drip over that body, sexy caramel. You got me on this carousel cathartically. Loving that sweet brown, them kisses are fine. Beauty of my present, always in my mind. Fluorescent light shine, girl. You should be in essence, maybe ebony or jet, cause your body's something heavenly. Singing to the melody, and this is what they telling me. Everywhere we go, always see the bunch of jealousy. Knew that I would choose you, knew that you had intrigue. Other girls were training wheels, but you were just 10 speed, taking model portraits. Damn, girl, you're beautiful, amazing, captivating, and that all just follows gold. Immaculate appearance, I know that God's design brought you right into my presence, so there's never interference. And the angels let us hear, baby, intervening path. So never fear the small drama in between the laughs, too. Yeah. Fight the force, hey, so let me wind and dine you. With candlelight and foreplay, it's time that I remind you. Lay within your realm as I cultivate your brain. Don't let my past hinder you or alterate your brain. We can take the lead, baby, or we alternate the chains. Cause control is not an issue, I can often take the blame. What is this? Baby, it might be something I'm not used to. Love and abundance got a nigga feeling truthful. She like Lauryn Hill, I like Nas shit. She gotta love that DOA, I call it God shit. She likes some R&B, she listening to hard shit, but like to sit and cuddle whenever all of the cars flip. And that's why everything that she does next to me, baby, what's your name? Just for now, I'll call you Destiny, and you shall get the best of me. I'll give you the recipe, and I plan to be by your side until the death of me. True. Thank you.